community choice aggregation effort. I think it's really important, and I think when we roll this out to the communities, you'll find a lot of support. But I think you'll have to be careful about the rollout because people are uncomfortable with change. The other thing I would ask is to continue to consider an advisory board for the operation when the appropriate time comes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comments? No? Let's go on to board member and director comments.
Very briefly, I want to introduce my colleague on City Council, Kathleen Kelly, who's here. Kathleen is my alternate for DCE and knows far more about it than I do. So you may be seeing a little bit of her, particularly as I look at the schedule. There's a few months that are doubtful for me. I haven't shared that with you, Kathleen, but we're going to kind of...
doing it here to constrain my response.
Exactly. So we'll be tag-teaming on occasion, so... Kathleen Kelly, thank you.
Welcome, Kathleen. Thanks. Let's go on to the consent calendar. The first is approval of minutes for January 22nd, 2017. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Second.
Second, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
And the minutes are approved unanimously. Let's go on to item six, which is discussion and action. Tom, an update on our progress and the status of the CPUC decision.
Yeah, Chairman, you could probably give this better than I can. You've been involved in some discussions with Edison as late as Thursday, which we continue on. For members of the public, or perhaps those that may not know, our efforts to get the CCA started were derailed a little bit. Or at least slow down. Something was put in the rail by the PUC decision in early December that really postponed our launch, or potentially postponed our launch. We've been planning for months now to launch in July, and I put that at perhaps a 70% chance of happening. August, maybe an 80% chance, and we'll certainly launch sometime before January of next year. But the essence of what the PUC did is said to emerging CCAs like DCE as well as Los Angeles, you have to go to your incumbent utility, in this case Southern California Edison, and ask for something called resource adequacy and pay for that short-term resource adequacy. And Jeff explained, I think, what RA was at the last meeting a little bit, but it's essentially a guarantee to the system that there's enough resources in case something went off. It's a little extra cushion in the system. And we have to buy that in advance every year. With these new CCAs that start up in the middle of the year, there's this in-between area that the utilities have been concerned that they're getting shortchanged. And frankly, they probably have been getting a little shortchanged. The question is, how do you make them whole? And there's now a process to do so. We've had some negotiations with really LA's leadership. When when LA, which they, what do they call it now?
Now it's
Los Angeles is going to be the big dog in the state of California. Once LA County gets started with their CCA, it's likely to be the largest CCA in the state. And they've taken the lead with negotiations with Southern California Edison. And we were invited with them to participate in those negotiations along with Western Riverside County, which is likely a year behind us in many ways. We've had a series of meetings with LA and Rosemead. Your chairman and Katie led those efforts on Thursday. And it seems as though we're close to reaching a deal. Because the deal is governed by PUC confidentiality requirements, we can't, frankly, get into the details. We could have if we got into closed session, but in the whole scheme of things, we believe these details will be made known in the next week or two, allowing us to launch potentially by July 1st. But part of our conversation, Jeff will play cleanup here on item 7D in terms of looking forward. We believe that August 1st launch is much more feasible. And you just heard that from Mr. Floyd that rollout is going to be very important. We also believe it will be. July 1st at this stage is probably rushing it. Your staff, through yours truly, has put a stop to spending money on marketing for a July 1st date that we weren't sure was going to happen. I think that would be worse for the organization to set us up for failure than to make sure that we are going to start, maybe it's August 1st, and then expend resources to get the word out at that time. Do it very carefully and strategically.
You're going to take summer into consideration there?
People may not be in town. They may not be in town, indeed. But we also don't want to wait till after summer and say we could have started and saved you money during summer. Yeah. So I think I would rather err on the side of starting as soon as possible and saving people a few dollars.
So when would the notices would go out, though? Significantly before, right?
They
so
would.
People wouldn't be.
And we have some statutory requirements
right.
on
it. If we started August 1st, right. for example, the first notice will go out in June and July.
Right.
It's 2 months ahead, and then two months.
Is it 2 months
after.
Or more?
Well, I think the actual notice would go out 2 months ahead. We'd start in, if it was July, we'd start in May, early May. It takes about a week to get, they don't go all out at once, but we'd also be
they're
marketing.
Part of your bill, so not all of them go out.
Yeah, not all of them go out at the same time.
What I'm saying is, are we free to do earlier marketing?
Yes, we would be doing earlier marketing.
Yeah. Okay. So the people who are gone,
right?
Correct.
I mean, they'll still get their bill forwarded, but still, it would be.
Just keep in mind, there'll certainly be plenty in any community, but particularly in the desert, there'll be plenty that say, I wasn't there, I didn't know, somebody pays the bill for me, whatever the case may be. And there is recourse, and that is they could opt out in 6 months or the next cycle.
Yeah. So, and they have 2 months after to opt out.
They do. So there are plenty of opportunities. And it's really, to the point made earlier, it's how we handle that and taking care of our customers and Edison's customers, because they're all constituents of yours.
The notifications are with the bill, I think Jeff just said that. And for those who get their bills electronically, that will be an electronic insert?
It'll be there's actually a letter, well, I should say, we have some options about the choice of how we actually send that notice out, but they would receive a distinct notice. And I believe that certainly we could make sure that for people to get...
I look at a lot of people
go paper. Yeah, you're right. That's true.
And we work with Edison on our notices and stuff, too, so they'll make us aware of if they have electronic folks that we need to contact or get that message to.
Mr. Floyd also mentioned the advisory board. We haven't taken any steps on that, but as soon as we have a date certain, I think that's a good time to work with you all on how to set that up, how many people to have it, et cetera. Did I miss anything?
Tom, the one thing, a couple of things I'd probably add. I think it was a long but interesting conversation with Southern California Edison last week. And just for those of you who don't know, we actually did also participate in the CPUC hearing where they were voting on the resolution. We, along with 40 others, talked about them not voting on it, but they did approve it, and so we went past that point. But the one, in terms of the conversation, the one point I would make is that the person leading the conversation from Southern California Edison made it clear that he still needed to take it up the chain of command in order to get approval for it. Now, my feeling is that if their lawyers are comfortable with it, that the chain of command is going to be comfortable with it too, but there is that one more step that has to happen. Did we get the new term sheet? Because I haven't seen it.
We did today.
Okay.
Yeah. But not from Edison. So they've not received their... It's my understanding Edison still has edits pursuant to your conversation. They have not...
The term sheet from LA went back to Edison today.
I see.
Yeah.
To make some changes?
Right.
Okay.
And they, because of LA County, their board is meeting on Thursday, so they're expecting to go to their executive team on Wednesday. So we'll have what should be the final version.
By Wednesday.
Probably.
Good.
And we'll work with your chairman on hopefully reaching a deal and getting back with all of you. Yeah. Anything, the PUC, and I forgot to mention that, It's another way we put your chairman to work.
Yeah.
We sent him on a one-day back-and-forth flight to San Francisco so that he could spend 1 minute in testimony.
I took 2 minutes, even though they only told me I had one.
Well, I think Don Dane may have joined us on the phone, and Don expressed after also being there with the chair that was a lesson in why we want to be separated from the CPUC and this whole process, why the local control might be a good benefit for us.
Yeah. Hi, Don.
Good afternoon, folks.
Good afternoon.
So, Don, any other insights from that experience that you know much better than we do?
No, I think you've all been well apprised.
Comment and a question before you leave that, Mr. Chair. So the comment is thank you to our chair, who maybe got a lot more than he bargained for in terms of serving as chair, but you have really invested all your time and effort and expertise, and we really appreciate that. So thank you for that.
Well, just in the response to that, I think this is so important for the city's involvement.
We're fortunate that you're here and that you're doing all that, so thank you. The question, especially since Don is here, and this may go back to the board member comments, a question came up in our city. We are moving forward with ways to underground our utility lines, and one way of doing that is to purchase 20A credits, Rule 20A credits. Those are credits that Edison issues to cities and, based on resonance and usage and other complicated formulas. The question that came up in our discussion is whether, by our city being part of a CCA, do we still get those credits from Edison? And it's very possible that no one can just answer that, but I wonder if staff can get back to us, because that is a pending issue for us.
Question.
Yeah. Thank you.
That would be important.
Yeah. It would. And our presumption would be, of course, because, of course, we're not leaving Edison system. We're only buying the electricity, and all those other public goods-related charges are riding with the transmission distribution. But given how important it is, we will
make sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll, that was my answer. I think so.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. All right. We will get a definitive ruling on that and get back to all of you.
Thank you.
Anything else on the update? Anyone else? Let's move on to item 6B, the approved services agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This item actually is a sort of a reapproval of an item that we had on the agenda last time after going through the process of providing an overall umbrella contract with DEA. We determined for a number of reasons that it was more appropriate for us to have direct contracts with Calpine Energy Solutions and LEAN. So this is a request for you to approve those service agreements. And just briefly, the LEAN Energy contract, LEAN will be Sean Marshall, who you've met, will be working with us on some of the governmental relations side of things, staffing, some of the aspects of organizational function. Under that LEAN contract falls the marketing team, which includes Green Ideals, which is a experienced CCA firm that we've already been working with, and they're up in the Bay Area, but work with many of the CCAs, and then Berkricks, who's the local marketing team, so their contracts all fall under the LEAN contract. The scope of services is basically the same as what you approved before. That particular contract is CDAG's standard services contract, so it should, and it has been reviewed and approved by our legal counsel, Mike Jenkins. The second one is Calpine, and similarly, you already approved as a sub-consultant with TEA a Calpine agreement, and we've now moved it to a direct contract with Calpine. Calpine is basically providing three different services. One, they are the data management team that will be coordinating with our banking relationships with Southern California Edison. They're already participating in our weekly calls with Edison. They do all the data management and testing and coordination to make sure that the customer lists are correct and all the billing is accurate. They also perform the customer service side. They will be manning the call center and all of the customer relations aspects and all the coordination with Edison on billing.
They also are the entity that has offered us a $500,000 loan, and so that would be a significant piece that will allow us to use those funds for our startup costs that will cover the marketing and the opt-out notices are included there. And then they are also going to be helping us with a $100,000 bond that needs to be posted with the California Public Utilities Commission as part of our service agreement. That's going to be coming up, Jeff, in March or April. So this agreement, we got their legal staff's comments, back. So the version on the agenda is a draft, but essentially it just the main things that are different, and this is currently being reviewed by our legal counsel, the references to our other consultants, TEA and Lean, clarifies that the funds we will receive is a loan, and there was a promissory note that we will be part of that. And then also clarifies just the breadth of the services that they will accomplish for us. So I'm happy to answer any questions. It's, like I say, it's essentially the same services, just a slightly different form for our agreements. And we think this will be a good way for us to more closely track those, especially on the marketing side, because we have a lot of folks working for us. We want to make sure we're not duplicating services. So that, any questions?
What's the interest rate on the loan? Is that been
5%?
5%. Let's see. And then their fee structure, I assume that we've determined that's competitive and appropriate and fair.
Yes. And for Calpine, the charges are based on a per account.
Per month
number.
Yeah.
$1.15. Which is based on our size.
And that's what I'm saying. That's good.
Just a reminder. This was a competitive procurement,
right?
And Don Dame in particular was very helpful in comparing sometimes apples to apples, sometimes apples to asparagus. because the number of responders that were a year ago that had a full suite of services and some that didn't. But we do feel comfortable with the competitive nature of this, and we believe we're getting a fair deal for the services offered.
Pine does the billing, but the bill will appear as though it's an Edison bill, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It'll just be a line item charge, Desert Community Energy line item for generation.
I think reading through these contracts gives you a little more sense of the complexity of what's going to go on in terms of setting this up and making it operational, because you start looking at all of the little pieces that need to get resolved and linked together to make it work. But I still think it's in the long run, it's better for us to have the direct relationships with Lean and Calpine and TEA rather than having it all under one. So.
And just as a note, I think I've mentioned this before, Calpine is providing service to most, if not all, the CCAs.
Yeah.
There are other firms out there, and going forward, you know, we would have the option of looking at other firms. But what's good, we have these weekly calls with Edison, and clearly they all work closely together and know all the complexities of what they're dealing with, so that's a good aspect.
With respect to the loan, this is not a commitment to take down $500,000. It does provide that as an opportunity for you. We have not incurred a whole lot of hard costs, nor will we until we have that date firmly in place. Per your guidance, I did reach out to the city managers after the last meeting and indicated this is an opportunity for investment if the cities want to invest in startup operations. We're not going to have the loan outstanding for very long is our guess. And I know even the private sector might be interested in this, but it would be a kind of a short-term deal. I do suspect that I'll come back to you with an option to have CVAG underwrite some or all of this as well. Of course, at more favorable terms than Calpine. You know,
four and a half.
So it's still an option available to the cities as well. I'm not sure it's worth much.
It's 5% on the outstanding balance, correct. And I presume we're paying it on a monthly basis or. Mm-hmm.
We haven't paid anything yet, so...
No, but...
Right, we don't actually start paying until after the start date, but you're correct, it's on whatever we actually use.
Actually, yeah.
One
And this makes perfect sense to me. The only thing, which I think I raised last time, is the non-discrimination clauses in these leave out a whole sexual orientation, gender identity. They don't follow state law. Hmm. So given we may all have different policies, at least, let's say, consistent with California state law. And I think I sent the language, but I could send that.
You did.
There are two code sections. That way, if the state changes it, we just move with the state.
I think we need to update all of our templates, so we'll do that.
Yeah, okay. I'm happy to work with you on
that. And it did get incorporated in the TEA contract, so we'll make sure that that's true here. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sure. Our apologies.
No.
Yeah, sure.
If you do make a motion to approve this, then you provide that as additional direction, and we will effectuate it.
So, do we have a motion?
Sure. So, make a motion to approve these, and with the change of the non-discrimination clauses to conform with California state law.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimously passes. That takes us to item 6C, which is the release for request for proposal for banking services.
So, it's just another one of those pieces that you were talking about that we need to get secured before we launch. Many of the forms and enrollment forms that we have filled out are waiting for bank numbers and bank statements, proof that we are ready to begin with transactions. So this is just the RFP to move forward with that.
Is our focus going to be on banks that have branches in the valley?
We'll do an RFP requesting the services that we have, some of these services here in the staff report as well. We're not going to limit it to local banks, but
It is a board call, and perhaps there might be some public comment on this very issue from somebody in the room that represents River City Bank, correct? and River City Bank has sat down with us, and they do banking services for a number of CCAs. They, along with our friends in LA and otherwise, have given us copies of RFPs that have been used in other places. We'll reach out, and I encourage the three of you to do so personally as well to local banks. This is a learning curve, and the experience in other CCAs, and Katie, correct me if I'm wrong, is sometimes local banks don't quite have some of the services set up to accommodate things like SCCA with lots of money coming in and going out all the time in log boxes and the rest of it. But we obviously have a couple of regional banks that may have that wherewithal in the Coachella Valley branches. So is that a fair?
Yeah, and we'd like to certainly reach out to all of those and be introduced.
It's up to him. He's an Indian Wells public resident.
Wait, we have Indian Wells here in the room?
Yeah.
That's my job. Getting the rules lined up.
Do you want to comment on this at all?
Well, I respect the thinking of buying local. I sure hope you were based in Sacramento, and I sure hope our local elected officials would fight for us to the extent that there are public contracts to be awarded. And it is a fairly normal request coming from boards to take a good hard look at the local alternatives. That said, I would say that I'm not aware yet of any CCAs that have actually elected to go with a local bank, other than in our case with Valley Clean Energy, which is Yolo County, and we happen to be in Yolo County. I think boards and management have elected to put the emphasis around experience over buying local. But that's it's obviously a decision for you all to weigh up and make.
It's a shameless plug.
Could you take a minute and explain perhaps the importance of the experience component with respect to this kind of implementation?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Because it is a fairly esoteric area, CCAs. It's fairly new. In California, the first one was formed in 2010. We happen to be the bank for Marin, So we got our toes wet out of the gate there. And as a consequence of that, there's a lot of banks that just don't understand what a CCA is. They don't understand the legislation behind it. They don't understand the business model. And I think it's important that you do understand those things and you pick a partner that understands those things. We've worked with... it's a fairly small community of folks that are dedicated to serving the CCA industry, so we have a lot of experience with Calpine. We have a lot of experience with Lean. TEA is obviously a big player in the industry. There are a few kind of nuances to the banking needs. Putting aside the credit lending component, because my understanding from Tom and Katie is that that's not an immediate need, and that's being handled more through the relationship with TEA. But on the depository side, there's typically a need for a lockbox arrangement, which can be a fairly complicated multi-party structure with the vendors and the bank and the CCA entity and kind of weaving in the investor-owned utility into the mix. And understanding how those accounts are structured and having the experience of working with the lawyers, I think, is important. The second thing is that most of the CCAs, to date at least, have been very successful in terms of generating cash. Most of the focus up front is around borrowing money and getting launched. And you guys, I have to say, have done remarkably well in keeping your costs down in this early phase, below, I think, anybody I'm aware of who's launched thus far. But the focus tends to be around, you know, how do I get enough capital to get going? And not as much focus around the depository side. Well, the experience has shown that once you get up and operational, the cash actually starts building up. And per California code, that cash has to be collateralized in a certain way with securities or backed by FDIC insurance so that there's no real risk for the taxpayers that money will be lost. And not all banks have appetite for taking on collateralized deposits, particularly the larger banks. View it as a drain on their liquidity because they have to pledge these securities. So finding a bank that has the appetite for the deposits along with the knowledge of the lockbox and cash management arrangements is pretty important, in my opinion. But, of course, that's a self-serving comment.
And who are you with?
So I'm the president of River City Bank, which is based in Sacramento. Yeah.
So
and you have a part-time residence in Indiana?
Yes. Okay. So part-time residence. My wife and I bought it actually in August. Mm-hmm. So we're enjoying. We just got a text saying it was hailing in Sacramento, so we're really enjoying it.
It's wonderful. I would not suggest giving preference to local banks or banks with local ties, but I'd like to see them have an opportunity. I'm guessing that the kind of experience that we just heard about and expertise is going to feature prominently in our selection, but it's also important, I think, to make sure that local businesses have an opportunity should they choose to participate. So when the RFP goes out, if you could send it to us as an attachment along with the list of who it did go to, then if we see any that perhaps should receive it, then we can just forward it on. Is that okay? Is that
yeah.
We haven't really talked about a process for selection, have we?
No.
And it's a small group, and this is a business orientation as opposed to what we oftentimes do at the city council meeting. So just talk about it. And with a small board, you cannot have a subcommittee of two. You can have a subcommittee of one. That's a possibility. We haven't talked about criteria for coming back with recommendations, but one of them, I suspect there'll be bankers locally that don't have an appetite for this, but would probably be willing to offer you an opinion about those responses that we get back. we could set up a review panel and probably involve somebody from TEA that's working directly with the banks, along with one or two bankers and a staff person, Ben or Katie or I, to review these and give you recommendations. Or you could take a more direct involvement by having one of you sit, probably engage one or more of the finance directors in the Valley as well. So if you give me your opinion, or we could just I'd probably bring a couple of outside folks in on this decision, maybe a finance director from one of the cities, an independent banker or two, and one or two of your staff or consultants. Is that fair?
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Unless one of you feel strongly about participating yourselves. All right. We have our direction, but we don't have a motion.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. That takes us to item 6D, which is a review of the schedule. This is
new
hands, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So no action here. Just wanted to give you a heads up on some of the decisions that will be coming down in the next couple of months. And as Tom alluded to, having to work through how to handle resource adequacy capacity here during the balance of 2018 has probably slowed things down a little bit and created a little bit of uncertainty that wasn't originally anticipated. But anyway, we'll work through it. So just really going to highlight the next 3 months here, February, March, and April. And the first one up, obviously, February here, you've already done the contract approvals for Calpine and Lean, so that one's pretty easy to check off. The other thing that just is kind of a reminder and a reconfirmation is what we're thinking about here is, what you're thinking about here for the CCA is really two product choices to start. One would be a default product choice, and then also 100% carbon-free choice. I don't know, Katie, if you wanted to say anything about the names of the products.
These are actually names that were proposed by our marketing team, and we thought they were well-suited to our area.
Sounds like coffee to me, but that's
okay. Well, one of them sounded a little bit more like some of the places they had the sort of cannabis issue. So these are not, we're not stuck with the names.
And ultimately, you will make a decision on the product names.
Right.
So we're planning to offer a choice between an 18-35%. Green energy, renewable energy, or 100%? Is that?
The thought would be that if when customers are enrolled, the default would be the desert choice, and that would be absent any other action, they would be in that product.
Which is 35% renewable, 55% carbon
free.
Southern
California Edison requires, or I should say the state requires 28%, correct?
And that chart just applies to the default choice.
Yeah. That is correct. Yeah, and then they were slowly ramping up, so they'll have to be at 33% by 2020, so it may actually be a little bit above 28% right now.
But Edison's at 32.
They'll be at 32 right now, correct. But the thought would be that DCE would be at 35% this year. We'd step that up an additional 5% next year, so it'd be up at 40% in 2019. And then on the carbon-free content, you can see 55 and 60, which is approximately 10% higher than what Edison is for their portfolio content. And right now, we have plugged the resource adequacy prices that are in the term sheet into this, and it looks like these numbers will still work, that's still financially feasible. These are also, I think, what was in the implementation plan as well, if I remember correctly. The 2 to 3% then on the rates, it is still a little bit in flux until we have a final deal, but at least tentatively it looks like it should all still pencil out. But the thought is, this is where we're at today. In March, we would actually ask you to formally approve those portfolio contents and an overall rate increase as well. So 3%, 2%, whatever the number is, ask you to do that. Then in March, and just stop me if you have
to. Just before you leave that slide, I'm sorry, I'm slow today. So the two choices that consumers will have is Desert Choice,
right,
which is the 35%
yep,
renewable energy, 55% carbon-free.
Correct.
I'm not understanding what Desert Peak is. It says 100% carbon-free.
So then they would also have the right to opt up
to 100% carbon-free product.
But not ramp up in renewable energy?
No. Well, that's a decision you can make. Some CCAs, especially the early ones, were doing 100% renewable. Here recently, the shift has been towards 100% carbon-free. And really, the distinction between carbon-free and renewable is the inclusion of large hydroelectric generation, where in the renewable, I think it's 30 megawatts and smaller is the cutoff for hydro being considered renewable. This just lets large hydro be included. But that really is a policy decision on your part.
Where does solar and wind?
They're renewable.
They count
and GHG free, so they would count for carbon.
They count under both. And maybe I could cut to the chase. The approach on the carbon free allowed is not going to be as expensive as a focus on renewable energy content,
right.
Because large hydro is less expensive to buy.
It's approximately a quarter of the cost. Now, having said that, the other track that CCAs have taken and that we would recommend is that the incremental cost of going from your default product to your 100%, be it carbon-free, be it renewable, is completely paid for by those ratepayers. So there is no incremental cost to the CCA in that situation. So if it cost you an extra penny to go get that renewable, you would pass that penny through.
My understanding.
I didn't even know. To the person who chooses the 100%, they're going to pay a little bit more.
Right. Well, I would like to explore for our consideration that option where somebody could go, whatever we pick, 75% or even 100% renewable, and opt to pay for that. I mean, I think when we talked about choice, that was one of the compelling features to me, that unlike the current situation, consumers would be able to say, you know what, I'm in on this. I'll pay a little extra. I don't want the savings. I actually want to help, you know, the environment. And I understand that even though we can't be equated to Marin County or Northern California, I understand that that is popular there.
Yep.
And that they're at 100% renewable.
Correct.
Yeah. So can we at least explore that?
Both.
Yeah.
What if it's 100% carbon-free and what if it's 100% renewable?
Yeah. Yeah.
What that difference
to be paid for by the consumer, to give them that choice.
We can bring that. And the other thing, not to confuse the issue, but like you brought up Marin or MCE Energy now, I believe they offer effectively both. So there's a 100% opt-up, but then they also have their local solar. I forget the name of the product.
They do. Something sold.
Yeah, it's a third option, and you don't need to make that decision.
Right. I'm just curious, though, local is owned by their CCNA or local, just some local operator?
Yeah, local as in a private operator, but it's right there in one of their member communities.
Yeah, we talk about that as a possibility, right, is that we buy our power locally to encourage local renewables.
Right there.
And we're here.
We could bring those options back up. Imagine how we had to understand the distinction between the two. If you offer two 100% deals, and this is for a very small, even in a highly environmentally conscious community, it's going to be there's going to be a small uptake of people that do this.
There's going to be a lot of customer service calls.
And that's okay, but it's still complicated.
Yeah.
So we'll bring back, and I think my recommendation would certainly be to just pick one of them.
Yeah.
To start. 100%.
Yeah. If you want to look at the difference.
But let's look at the difference.
Yeah. Exactly. And once we look at it, we did have the conversation about whether we should start with three choices or two choices, and we focused on two to try to keep it as simple.
Yeah.
As possible.
Right. So,
we'll look at it.
And if the numbers are such, we think a lot more people will pick, the carbon-free, then that makes sense. If it's the difference is such that we think we want to go the other route, that's a fair discussion. It's good to have the data.
Well, and we should understand what the... Yeah. I know it all gets... it all gets passed on, so we understand the difference.
Okay. Yeah, we can bring both. So that would take care of this month. Then in March, what we would be looking to do is approve the banking and credit agreement, so the results of the RFP. The other thought is that in March, we will set, or you will set, or approve the overall rate discount So the 2%, 3% or somewhere in between. Calpine actually needs that number as soon as we can get it to them, although March is fine, so that they can begin hiring call center operators, train call center operators on what the rate discount will be. Approve that.
We have the data that we need to make that decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't speak. Tom's going to probably say okay.
Well, don't we need the exit fee or whatever it's called?
Yeah, we have that.
Oh, we do have
that.
Yeah. Okay, I thought that was months away. Okay.
Yeah, no, the only thing that's moving right now is the cost of resource adequacy and capacity.
Okay.
So setting the overall rate discount policies, so this is everything from energy risk management policy to any internal administrative policy. Probably the other big policy will be the terms and conditions. That'll go in the opt. I think they actually go in the opt-out notice of, or the enrollment notices, I should say, if I remember correctly. So these are the rate setting that you'll set rates in a duly noticed public meeting. That the bills will still come through Edison. I think also included in here is the information about what we were just talking about. If you enroll in the program, you'll automatically be enrolled in the default product and whatever that description is. You'll have the right to opt out. There'll also be descriptions about how to opt out if you want to do that. I'm maybe missing a few other things in there, but that'll go in there as well. That'll be a big one. Also, too, in March, the expectation is you would improve the net energy metering policy. As well as probably also the rate. So right now, all of the investor-owned utilities and actually all the CCAs credit for renewable generation up to the retail rate until the point that you become a surplus or a net generator over the course of the year, and that's where they start to differentiate. All three IOUs to varying flavors are essentially crediting that excess generation at wholesale rate. The CCAs are anywhere from full retail compensation for credit for that generation or splitting the difference somewhere between a wholesale and a retail type rate. So anyway, approving that. And then the other thing that will happen in March is as soon, and Katie talked about this, so as soon as the implementation plan is certified, which should occur on or about March 11th, if that's a weekday, which is 90 days after it was submitted, then you will turn around and post the $100,000 bond to the PUC, as well as sign Edison's service agreement. And I think we've already got a copy of the service agreement right now. And once those documents are filed with the PUC, along with the certified implementation plan, you're officially a CCA from the state's perspective at that point. And then in April, we would come back, finalize the year one and two budgets. Well, obviously, we'll have to have an indication of what those are going to be to set the overall rates back in March. But as we've talked about before, and as you'll see again, far and away, the cost of power supplies is the big ticket driver. You know, somewhere in the 85 to 90% of the costs are power supply, and the balance is administrative costs and those types of things. Actually, in April, too, you'll finalize the 2018 rates. So just to March, we're talking about you would set the overall rate discount, again, whether that's 2%, 3%, whatever that number ends up being. And in April, you would actually approve the rate schedule. So the thought is we would mirror the SCE rate schedules, create a DCE version for each of those. Whatever that rate discount that you approved in March would be applied to those rate schedules, and then you would actually formally approve each of those rate schedules in April. And then if there's any remaining policy program cleanup type of activity. So I think that was it.
So we're going to have to be looking at terms and conditions at some point. We're going to have to be looking at the promotional materials like the letter and that talks about all of the terms associated with it. And that's why I'm wondering if it really goes out with the SCE bill or it really is a separate mailing.
I think the opt-out letters actually are a separate mailing.
That's
we actually send
too.
Those out.
Yeah.
Edison provides us the list and we send
and
it out. We told them we would
yeah.
take that responsibility and our consultant
yeah.
team.
Because there's a lot of detail that
because,
has to
yeah,
go
it's
with that.
Be
it could have a very tiny print, terms and conditions.
I think Edison will do it, but all the CCAs have opted to do it ourselves.
And we've got some templates. There is some discussion. There's flexibility. It doesn't have to be a letter necessarily. It could be some other format. But we've got some templates that we've picked up, and that will be very much coordinated with Addison in terms of what comes out. Make sure that the terms and conditions.
The chairman's very politely saying, Tom, you were wrong. It doesn't go in the bill.
I think the series of notices go with the bill, right? Isn't there a series of three notices?
I thought there was two.
The opt-out notices actually go separately.
Oh, the notices go separately.
There's four. They'll come from, that'll be a Desert Community Energy address.
No, I'm just thinking because there's so much information that has to go out that's separate that it would get lost if there was.
Your intuition is correct. So.
Yeah, that way. For those of us who don't never look at their bill.
Exactly. Those of us who get it online.
I pay attention to one part of the bill.
Solar, I get once a year, really. So.
Yeah, you just look at your true up. That's
all. Once a year.
Yes, right.
What?
I want to see what I'm paying in taxes. Okay, is there anything else on the timeline schedule?
Just in the to-do list, I mean, this is silly, but can I assume we registered the name Desert Community Energy since we're going to start using
it?
Okay.
I mean, we did on our...
These smart people, they go and register it, and then they want to sell it to you, I'm telling you.
Good point.
I also suggested that we should get business cards with our logo on it. So. Okay, next item on the agenda, if there's nothing else on that, we have the attendance roster, we have our meeting schedule, although you indicate there's a possible change in the March meeting date.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we had some conversation with respect to our schedule that we might want to schedule the March meeting earlier. If we, as Tom described, if we relax that start date a little bit, that may not be necessary. In some of the conversation we've had here today, we needed some guidance from you on those product choices. So that's probably the next step. But I think we're okay at this point. We'll let you know if there's any reason that we would need to change that date.
Okay.
Is that date work for everybody?
No, but that, I knew that.
You said that wasn't going to work.
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Lisa's my alternate. She,
okay.
Great.
Okay.
She's pretty up to speed on this.
Oh, great. Okay. Does anyone have anything else? We're adjourned. Thank you.
Great. Thanks very much.
Okay. Starting.